Up next, The Truth with Lisa Booth, part of the Gingrich 360 Network.
Welcome back to The Truth with Lisa Booth. So the Biden administration is learning the hard way that you don't mess with Texas. On this episode of The Truth with Lisa Booth, I sit down with Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton to discuss the Lone Star State's legal fight against this administration's authoritarian assault on our freedoms. From vaccine mandates to the border crisis, the Biden administration is showing it doesn't care about your liberty or the rule of law. It only cares about power, plain and simple. This is a crucial moment for our country, and we can't afford bystanders. Attorney General Paxton is well aware of what's at stake, and that's why the gloves are off in the Lone Star State. Don't miss this episode and this interview with the Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton. So it's such an honor to have the Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton on this episode. Probably the second greatest state in the nation. I am biased as a new Floridian, sir, but I really appreciate you joining the show.
Well, Lisa, thanks for having me on. And Florida is not bad. We love Florida and Texas. We're still going to claim number one, but we like Florida too. Matter of fact, I think it's critical that Florida and Texas are sticking together. We take on the federal government, so many other important issues together.
I agree, sir. We are lucky to be in two of the greatest states in the nation. You know, sir, I was looking at some of the images coming out near the border near Del Rio, Texas, over the weekend, and they're absolutely unreal. I mean, we're seeing a migrant camp with over 14,000 people. Many of these individuals came from Haiti. I mean, it's just complete and utter lawlessness. How did it get this bad?
They always say a picture's worth a thousand words. This is started the day that Joe Biden became president, when he told the world, hey, we're not enforcing immigration laws. You can come and we won't deport you. That was the message. It was clear. It was simple. It was in complete violation of federal law. It was in complete violation of his constitutional role. And this is what it's been like. It's just this. Finally, we get a visual for the rest of America to see what Texas and Arizona and other states have been dealing with since the very beginning. But this is what is happening. This is a small segment of those coming. It just so happens that they've all congregated in one area. But that's like almost a daily amount of people coming across, because there's over 200,000 people a month that are coming across that we know of, versus just a year ago. It was like, you know, one fourth of that.
You look at a city like Del Rio, for example. I think it's a city of 35,000 people, I read.
Yeah.
And there are over 14,000 at their doorstep. So, I mean, what impact does this have on a city like Del Rio and a state like Texas in general, who's, right there in the fight, obviously, as being a border state?
Yeah. So I've been to Del Rio. I've been to Laredo. I've been down to McAllen and other cities along the border. It's all the same. They're overwhelmed. It puts tremendous pressure on them, both from a cost standpoint, but also just a like risk standpoint, with higher incidences of COVID coming in, higher incidences of human trafficking, fentanyl, other type of crime activity, crimes to their property. People are afraid, and it definitely affects the lives of those right on the border more than probably anybody else in the United States.
You know, the irony of all of this is we've got a president who on September 9th announced the sweeping vaccine mandates for Americans. However, you know, he's letting illegal immigrants flow across the border with COVID, not vaccinate, all these different things. So he's obviously a complete hypocrite. But, you know, as we look at some of these mandates impacting companies with over 100 employees, federal workers and contractors, as well as healthcare workers, are these actions legal?
Well, first of all, you bring up a really good point. The fact that they are lecturing us and trying to force Americans to take a vaccine, the president's been lecturing us about masks, and then he's letting people, not just letting people, but inviting people to come into the United States who are unvaccinated, who have COVID, and then spreads them around the country. I mean, the president is the greatest super spreader of COVID of any, probably, buddy in America, maybe ever. And so it doesn't make sense to me that he cares about COVID. He says he does, but he can't care about COVID and let people come in our back door with COVID and not do anything about it. So, yes, I do think we can do something about it. If when OSHA brings out their rules, when they promulgate their rules, we're going to look at them. And very likely you'll see not only Texas, but most of the Republican states will fight back because it is unconstitutional for a president to order anybody to get a vaccine.
You know, why do you think Democrats so embrace open borders? What's behind that?
They may all have some differing reasons, but I mean, from looking at what the president's done, there's clearly two things that are going on. And the only thing I can come up with is one, he wants to hurt Republican states. More crime, more COVID. Then he can blame, you know, say things are going bad in our state, put more costs on us. So it's a very insidious reason, but I think it's true. And he also wants to have these people here voting because he knows if he can overwhelm our states with voters, eventually, you know, what they would like to see is something like California. It's a one-party state where there's accountability, corruption can reign. And I'm not a believer in a one-party system anywhere because without a two-party system, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you end up with very little accountability for your elected officials. And I don't think it would be a very good thing to be down the road that the president wants, which is he wants a one-party system where they run everything as if there is no real election.
How much correlation is there between, you know, Texas's COVID numbers and hospitalizations and all that with these, you know, illegal immigrants pouring across the border with COVID? How much of do you think the state's problems fighting COVID are because of open borders?
You know what? I would say very likely significant because there's so many people coming across the border. And it's uncontrollable for us because we don't know where the president is going to send these people. I was talking to some police officers in Dallas, and they said they were, you know, out doing their patrols, and they could see these buses coming in at night. They let people out. They're not detained. They just disappear. And that's happening, you know, all over our state. I'm sure it's happening in Florida. So we can't even know. That's how bad it is for us. The president doesn't help us know, doesn't seem to really care. And so we're stuck with the consequences. I don't think we'll ever know exactly what percentage, but it certainly isn't helping.
Well, and what's so different about what we've seen under the Biden administration is that it's a global immigration crisis. I mean, we have people coming from all over the world. It's no longer just Central America. I mean, it's essentially an open invitation to anyone, anywhere.
That's exactly right. And the problem with that is not just the fact, the things that I mentioned, but you have to now add in potential terrorism. People coming in to establish terrorist little networks around our country, we wouldn't know it. They're not vetted. They're just released. And they're coming from, I think, 150 countries or more. And so we're very likely, if you want to be a terrorist, you want to come here, you can get in pretty easily and you can set yourself up all over. These guys can set themselves up all over the country. And that's obviously not just going to affect border states, but it'll affect the entire country.
Well, and of course, this all comes as we're importing, you know, untold numbers of Afghans as well to the United States, likely unvetted as well. So we not only have a wide open, porous border, but we're also importing potential terrorists, also some good people, but potential terrorists as well into the country, all unvetted, which, you know, to your point, is a huge, huge national security issue for our country. You know, sir, I want to get into, you know, the new abortion law in this state. There was a doctor named Dr. Alan Brain, who is an OBGYN for San Antonio. He wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post recently bragging about violating the law and performing an abortion. He says a woman has a fundamental right to receive this care. What's your response to this doctor and his violation of the state's law?
Look, he's certainly opened himself up because it is a violation of state law. Now, the enforcement isn't from the state. Any individual can sue, and so he can be sued civilly. And if he's bragging about it, he's basically providing the evidence that someone would need to show at least that a harm was done, and then open himself for potential major damages. So, no, I mean, he's flaunting it, and maybe he's inviting the lawsuit and he wants to be the first one sued. But he certainly is in violation of state law.
Well, and what makes this law different than some of the other states is what you just mentioned, is it relies on civil, not criminal enforcement. Talk about the significance of that and why that's the case and why it's different than some other states.
Well, I mean, this was put forth by our legislature in the last session, which was last spring. I think they were trying to take it out of the state's hand and put it, you know, open the courts up to for lawsuits, just like they do with all different kinds of causes of action. So the courts can be open for any type of cause of action that the legislature deems worthy of allowing people to seek redress for a harm. And so it just, for some reason, that particular route had never really been opened up to individuals. I think it was a pretty creative way to handle it, and it takes the state out of having to deal with prosecutions, because in so many in our state, the DAs wouldn't prosecute it anyway. So it was a pretty smart move. It took it out of the hands of the district attorneys and put it in the hands of individual citizens to bring their own claim.
Quick commercial break, and then I have more questions for the Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton. So you have taken on big tech, and there's also a law coming through the pipe in Texas that requires social media companies to disclose how and why they moderate content. It also gives Texans the ability to sue if they're wrongfully censored, and you, as the Attorney General, the power to sue companies, tech companies on behalf of groups of users. How would a law like this impact or fight against social media and some of the censorship we've seen? And how much impact can individual states have on this issue?
You know what? I think big states, really all states, eventually can start having an impact on this. I think big states in particular, especially as other states see what we're doing, states like Florida have, I think, some good legislation they've passed relating to these social media tech companies. In addition, we have in Texas, we have a pretty major lawsuit against Google as a monopolistic company. We think we've got a very good chance of affecting how they operate. It's just going to take longer. So I like the fact that the legislature is giving individuals an opportunity to protect themselves, because these companies have so much power and so much money. And again, it gives individuals the opportunity to open the door to addressing their harm, which before these tech companies were protected from.
Well, and I think that's the broader concern, you know, as conservatives here, as we see, you know, companies have kind of shown their colors with going after, Texas has been a recipient of it, the ire of some of these woke corporations. So is Georgia with their election law as well. We've got, you know, big tech companies. I mean, it seems like, you know, how do we as citizens, you know, more broadly protect ourselves from some of these companies that are essentially doing the Democrat Party's bidding?
Well, for one, you can stop using their products. And I think that will slowly but surely send a message there as their stock price goes down. Part of the problem with these tech companies, though, is that there's no other choice. They're monopolies, and they've enforced their monopoly with anti-competitive behavior and predatory, you know, purchases of other companies. And so those are the ones that we're trying to focus on, the ones that we can't just go to another choice. Like Coke, you can pick another product. They're certainly probably the largest, but there are still other choices that you can make as a consumer. You can drink water if you want to. So I would encourage people, if you see companies acting that way, to stop purchasing their product.
But should the fight be bigger than that? I mean, you know, are corporations an enemy of conservatives these days?
Well, yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I think individual companies, I mean, it's harder to say what they should do and they should do. It's one thing when the government is limiting our speech and imposing restrictions on people's speech and their ability to communicate. When it's an individual company, if they're not monopolistic and there's competition, I think the best choice really is for consumers to organize and say, look, we're not going to use you. It's when they're monopolistic and we don't have a choice, but I think governments have to step in and give people that option.
You know, sir, it seems like, you know, as we look around the country, particularly over, you know, throughout COVID, there just seems to be such a loss of liberty in the country. You know, all of our freedoms are under attack. We look at, you know, censorship is rampant. The Second Amendment is under attack. People were not allowed to worship in certain parts of the country. We've seen a great centralization of power in Washington, D.C. Are we still a constitutional republic?
So, you know, Rahm Emanuel once said, and I think it was him that said, don't ever let a crisis go to waste. They made a crisis out of this, and they've certainly not let it go to waste. The left has certainly pushed towards less freedom, less constitutional government. And I would say, yes, we are at risk. If we're on the verge right now of losing our representative constitutional government with the checks and balances on power that our founders put in place. And the founders didn't trust government. That's why they put these checks and balances in place. And what the Biden administration is doing is trying to silence those differences. They're trying to place power, centralized power with the president in Washington away from the states, trying to limit our abilities as states to operate, even suing us of our own. It's one thing for the federal government to follow federal law, which is what Biden does every day. It's another thing for him to create new law, which he's trying to do with this vaccine thing. And even another thing where he goes to Georgia and Florida and Texas and says, you can't pass those state laws. This is the type of administration we have. And yes, we, the American people, need to wake up. We are on the verge of losing our constitutional government.
Well, and I mean, we also, we saw this recently with General Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, I mean, bragging about a attempted coup against President Trump, and the left and the media celebrated these actions. I mean, this may sound outrageous, but I don't really know how far away we are from a Democrat president saying, I need a third term. And then because Republicans are evil and the media cheering it along, it just seems like there is no regard for the Constitution anymore.
Yeah, or a third term, or just making sure that the elections are not, that are, they're not fair, and that people can't trust them. And that's certainly what happens in other countries. You know, you look at Venezuela, they moved away from a constitutional government or a democracy to dictatorship, and they did it through the voting process. And so that's why I think you're seeing such great attempts at the federal level to federalize elections, because they know that in California, they've got it. It's a one-party system, no accountability, no real competitive elections. We saw that with the recall. And that's the way they want it. They want complete control where there really isn't a reason to go vote because there's no hope. And that if we get to that point, we have lost our representative government. We have not, we're no different than Venezuela or Cuba or Russia or China. We'll be controlled by a few people.
Quick break. Back on the other side. Stay with us. You look at the 2020 election, it was extremely close in Texas, but it was also this really unique election because we saw an unprecedented use of absentee ballots across the country in a way that we have never seen before in this country. Without that easy access to absentee ballots, do you think Joe Biden would have won?
Yeah, look, I can only tell you what happened in Texas. We fought off. We, just like other states, there was a massive attempt by some of these Democratic counties to change the rules the legislature put in place and start mailing out absentee ballots. They were going to mail out over 2.5 million in Harris County alone. Same in Travis County, which is where Austin is. Same in Bexar County, which is where San Antonio is. Had we allowed that to happen, we fought off 12 lawsuits. Had we lost any one of those lawsuits, we would have been doing the same thing. We would have been counting mail-in ballots for a couple of days. Very likely they would have had enough to overcome the Trump election. Trump would have lost Texas. We would have lost the Texas House. And it, once those rules get put in place, you can see from California, once those type of mail-in ballots where you can commit fraud are in place, it's hard to ever undo it. So, yes, I think that that had a significant impact. You can look at all the states that changed their rules for COVID locally instead of following what the legislature put in place. And, you know, Joe Biden won those states. And I think it was no accident the way this happened. And knowing what I know, that we had to fend off 12 lawsuits and win all of them, I'm not surprised that this is what happened nationwide.
Well, and that's, you know, to your point earlier, that's why that Democrats are fighting so hard to federalize elections and also to keep some of these things in the process of absentee ballots, no excuse absentee ballots, and then also, you know, counting ballots way past Election Day.
Yep, that's exactly what happened. It was no coincidence that it happened. And I mean, we'd never seen it happen before that I know of. And then it happens in, you know, six states, and it would have happened in our state had we not taken the huge effort to fight this off.
Well, and I think one of the broader problems we're facing, I mean, look, I think skepticism is healthy. I'm a firm believer in not trusting, you know, anything. It's hence the premise of this show. But we've really had almost every institution of this country has, you know, given Americans good reason not to to trust them, whether it's the FBI, even with the CDC, the NIH, with Anthony Fauci in charge, the media, you know, what does this mean for the country moving forward?
You know what? You know, the Declaration of Independence said that our rights were granted to us by God, not by the government. And it gave us the right to reform government that wasn't answering to the people, wasn't honoring our inalienable rights. And we've got massive amount of government now. You mentioned some of the agencies that people can't trust anymore. And I think we have to figure out a way to win a few more elections, and we have to reform this government. We have to, you know, restart some of these agencies from scratch, because they don't answer to the people anymore. They are somewhat corrupt, if not totally corrupt, and they don't take care of the American people. They've got their own agenda. That's an agency that shouldn't exist, whether it's law enforcement or whether it's, you know, the EPA or whatever it is.
You know, and sir, you're facing a pretty crowded primary right now. You've got State Rep Matt Kraus, I think I'm pronouncing his last name, just entered Land Commissioner George P.W. Bush. Some of them are citing some of the legal challenges that you're facing. How vulnerable do you think you are right now?
Well, look, I just continue to do the right things. I can tell you this. If you're out there fighting the way I'm fighting, this is the kind of stuff that they do to you. It's inevitable. And the people that are trying to take my job are part of the problem. They're not people that are going to step out and take these risks. Aren't going to put themselves in the front of the line. They're the people that kind of shoot you in the back and hope that they can step into your spot, but they don't really want to step into the same spot. They don't want to be at the front line of the fight, and there are very few people that actually want that role. I didn't ask for it, but because of the situation that our country's in, Texas and I have in my office have stepped into it and will continue to step into it, and I know there are always consequences for that, and some of them are pretty tough to deal with, but I won't quit. I think my polling is very good. Our fundraising is good. So we'll just continue to fight the fight no matter what those people say.
Well, you know, we've seen the targeting of President Trump as well. You know, and last question, you know, looking at the state. So, you know, you're going to face Democrat challenges statewide. So is Governor Abbott. You know, the 2020 election was extremely close in the state of Texas. What are you guys looking at in terms of statewide? Are you concerned that Republicans could lose their control of the state?
Look, I'm always concerned because we always have to communicate our message and make people aware that without the leadership that we have from the Republican Party, this whole country could be lost. And so, you know, it's a pretty important fight. It's one we have to win. We can't afford to lose Texas. So all I can tell you is we're going to do our best to communicate that message, and the people of Texas have to either stay in the fight or realize we're going to lose the fight.
Attorney General Ken Paxton of the great state of Texas, almost as great as Florida. Sir, thank you so much for your time. I truly appreciate it.
Absolutely. Have a great day. Thanks for having me on.
I want to thank Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton for making time for the show. And I want to thank you guys at home for listening. If you enjoy our show, please leave us a review and rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. I love reading those. It means so much when you take the time to leave feedback and a review. So please do that. You can also follow me personally on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Lisa Marie Booth. I also want to thank our team, producer John Cassio, writer and researcher Aaron Kliegman, and our executive producers, Debbie Myers and Speaker Newt Gingrich, all part of the Gingrich 360 network and team.